Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck. We are live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we are live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. So that's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central time on Dash Radio, Nothing But Net channel. Quick things, follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. All of our content over at LockedOnBulls.com. Anywhere you find podcasts, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you like listening to podcasts, you'll find us there. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook as well. So welcome back after a pretty quiet weekend in the NBA in terms of Saturday, Sunday goes. But where we left you guys on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, going into this Bulls-Bucks game, if you got a chance to hang around on your Friday night and watch this game, you were in store for a really great game, and the Bulls playing out another win, 115-109 against the Bucks on the road. So, Matt, first take on this: how are the Bulls doing this? Why are the Bulls doing this? What are we doing?
It's really crazy, Jordan. I mean, this winning streak just gets more and more baffling by each game that passes, and you know, who knows if it'll last. I mean, you know, as we're recording this, the Bulls are a few hours away from playing the Joel Embiid-less 76ers. So, you know, they might be in that one as well. We'll see tomorrow morning. But I mean, it's baffling. This is another game in which the Bulls, well, for one, they get another strong night from Chris Dunn, 17 points, 7 assists, chipping in 2 steals on the defensive end. Robin Lopez did his usual thing, 18-8. But Nico Mirotic, again, filling in for the injured Lauri Markkanen, who the Bulls will get back in the game against the Sixers. But so Nico starting in place of Markkanen with those back spasms, 22 points and 8 rebounds, gets his first 2 assists since coming back from his injury on the season. And then Bobby Portis in 29 minutes off the bench, 9 of 16, 7 for 7 from the free throw line, 27 points, a career high, and 12 rebounds. It's Nico and Bobby. It's the puncher and the punchee bringing the Bulls to another victory, and including a dagger three-pointer from Nico late in this game. He also had a very difficult and one right there underneath the hoop, showing more of that offensive versatility and his aggression with that added muscle, you know, so showing Bulls fans his ability to get some more things done on that low on the block in the post. And
you're forgetting the most important part about that too, is we got the Nico Bobby chest bump.
We got a chest bump. We did. They're still not talking off the court. Apparently, according to Nico after that game, he said, yeah, we're talking on the floor, and then asked if they're talking off the court yet. He gave a very succinct no as his answer. So they still don't like each other enough to have chats off the court, but they're chest bumping on the court. And because of the two of them, the Bulls have an inexplicable 5-game winning streak. It's nuts.
It really is. And I want to say hello to everybody out there. Hi. Hello to all the Bobby Portis haters out there, because you know what? I got a lot of crap for backing Bobby Portis. And for the very few people that still think he was skilled, all the people that want to talk in my ear about Nico Mirotic having this great 5-game stretch, nobody wants to talk about Bobby Portis either. Bobby Portis is playing just as well. I mean, Bobby Portis Friday night had 27 points. He pulled out like a deck of cards worth of moves that it seeming like he couldn't miss. all night. And I'm not taking anything away from what Nico's done over these five games, but let's also give some credit to Bobby Portis here too. And I'm also on the bandwagon that, like, he's playing at the highest level we thought. This is like where we thought he was going to be when he was playing as a rookie. We got kind of sprinkles here and there of Bobby Portis and thinking, oh, wow, Bobby Portis might be better than we thought he was. Last year, he was lost. So now finally, we're kind of getting a mix of both of the best of both worlds from both Nico and Bobby. And I like it. I'm excited that this team is playing well and has some confidence in them now. It's entertaining basketball, to say the least. But also, I want to mention, too, David Nwaba. He has the most difficult job on the Bulls because it seemingly looks like they have assigned him to the toughest offensive player on each team every time he's out on the floor. And I got to applaud the guy because 120% effort every time he's in the game. And he might not be like this superstar type of guy yet. We don't know yet, but he's giving you everything he's got out there. And he's the spark plug the Bulls need in a lot of situations.
Yeah. We talked about in one of our episodes last week that when it comes to the guys on this Bulls roster this season that you definitely want to see back next year in year two of the rebuild, obviously it's the three trade pieces. It's the finisher, it's Chris Dunn, and it's Zach LaVine, who we are eagerly awaiting to see come January. But behind that, it's David Nwaba, a guy who continues to impress us. And then I would go so far as to say, behind those four, maybe the fifth guy I'd feel most confident, let's see if I can speak English today. Most confident and comfortable with is Bobby Portis. The way that he's been playing since his 8-game suspension. I mean, he is averaging nearly 22 minutes a game this year, which is up from last season, which was 15 and a half. His rookie season, 17 and a half. But he's putting up career numbers. 12.9 points a game, that's a career high. 6.8 boards, career high. Shooting, 49% from the floor, 39% from downtown. Those are both career highs as well. And we do know that the Bulls picked up his option for next season on his rookie deal. And even though he and Nico were chest bumping and whatever on the court, and they have this crazy, like, the two of them have the best plus minus of any Bulls duo on the roster since Nico's come back, and it's nuts. But I still think the Bulls need to be exploring a Nico Mirotić trade, especially if he continues to play well approaching the deadline, because the Bulls might actually be able to get something for him. But as far as the debate of, like, all right, well, if you do decide to trade one of them, because maybe the feud is still ongoing or whatever, to me, the way that Bobby's played, absolutely, between that and the fact that he can have another year under a rookie scale deal, it's keep Bobby. Absolutely keep Bobby and see if you can get something for Nico. That's how well Bobby's played recently.
Yeah, I talked about this too on Friday, and I don't have a problem with it at all. And I just think it's an interesting story, and it's an interesting thing to look at in terms of the way Nico Mirotić has approached this whole situation since he's returned. And I feel like he's, like I've said, and it makes it more evident now that he is selling himself to try and get another NBA team interested in him. And I like that in terms of the Bulls too. And from what I'm hearing just around from other people, it seems like the Bulls are still, their intentions are still trying to move Nico Mirotić and Robin Lopez, if possible. There have been some, it hasn't picked up any type of steam, but I can imagine that the Bulls, for longevity and whatever they can get out of Nico Mirotić. And that's really the question here, is like, what can you get for a Nico Mirotić that's playing right now as well as he has been his entire career? And that's still going to be kind of a waning question until we get to January 15th, where he's able to be dealt. But in terms of this game, I was actually really surprised that the Bulls came out and played up against a Milwaukee Bucks team that's, I didn't see them coming out this flat, and they did. Giannis played a pretty nice game too, and he was the single factor of trying to keep that Bucks team in this game, especially late in the fourth quarter. But it was exciting again, and like, I don't want the Bulls to keep winning games, but at the same time, confidence level, being able to close out games, being able to learn how to do these things, how to put together a win streak. I mean, in terms of future wise, if you've got a couple guys on this roster, they got to learn how to do that at some point. I just don't want to see this extended out anymore, because I don't want it to ruin the chances of us getting a top five pick.
Yeah, I think that's the catch 22, isn't it? Because as the Bulls were in the in the doldrums of that 10-game losing streak, which, by the way, that was a fun stat that ESPN Stats and Info came up with. The Bulls, at least in the shot clock era or whenever they started tracking such things, first team in NBA history to follow up a 10 or more game losing streak with at least a 5-game winning streak. So that's interesting. But I mean, when we were talking about some of those close losses the Bulls suffered in that 10-game losing streak, it was talking about not having a closeout guy. Maybe it's Fred Hoiberg and his inability to draw up the right plays when it's those tight late fourth quarter situations. Whatever the case may be, you feel helpless watching a team that just has no ability to close out a game, especially if they have a substantial lead coming into that final frame, that fourth quarter. And so that's the biggest complaint from Bulls fans as they were watching that losing streak. And now it's like, okay, we've started to see them close out some games, whether it's Nico hitting a big three or Chris Dunn knocking down shots or Chris Dunn free throw or a Markkanen three earlier on. They're starting to close out these tight games. But the problem with that on the flip side is that now all of a sudden, instead of four wins or three wins, the Bulls have eight. And Atlanta is still down there with six. Dallas only has eight. Like the tank is, I'm not panicking yet. But it seems like the tank is kind of starting to slip away a little bit because the Bulls are closing close games, winnable games.
Yeah, and I think the front office is aware of this, obviously. And as much as they realize what's going on right now, they probably don't think that there's any longevity to this type of win streak. And now we all could be wrong at that point, but for them, they're probably thinking of this in this term is like, okay, Nico's playing well right now. Asset that we want to trade when we get the opportunity to. Robin Lopez playing well too. Another asset we might want to look to trade coming on. But this might push them to make a decision earlier than they might want to. If the Bulls continue to stack wins, especially late into December. Now, do I think that's actually going to happen? No, because if you look at their schedule, we were just talking about this off air. If you look at their schedule up until the new year, they've got teams like the 76ers tonight. They've got the Cavaliers, Celtics. They play the Bucks again, all three of those games on the road. Then you come back, play the Knicks again. You play the surging Pacers. You play the Wizards, and then you play the Trailblazers to start the season. So a lot of those are really tough teams and teams that are streaking right now. So in terms of the way that this win streak might come to a halt, I think people who want this tank to continue, you can look at the next 10 games or so and maybe take a deep breath. Now, I could be completely wrong and we could be looking at a win streak at 10 plus games here, but you never know. But stats and importance are telling me that this team is bound to end up going back to what we thought they were. And that was a team that was designed to lose, but that's just me.
Yeah, I wouldn't panic just yet because, you know, as you mentioned, we've got a game in Cleveland later this week, I think on Thursday night, and the Cavs led by LeBron are playing some of the best basketball in the NBA right now after their slow start to the season. And if we're talking on our Friday show about unbelievable and unpredictable Bulls win in Cleveland, then, you know, maybe we start having a different conversation of how much we need to be worrying about this Bulls team tanking at tanking, aka failing to successfully tank and get themselves the best odds at a top pick and a franchise changing player next spring. But I think I'm with you, Jordan. Like, this win streak that the Bulls are on coming into their Monday night showdown with the Sixers is it's been fun. It's been a nice change of pace. And we might see them lose a bunch more games in the back half of the season if they do, in fact, trade Rolo, if they do trade Nico. But even before that happens, I see more losses coming. I mean, I think this is an odd blip on the radar, and it's encouraging to see strong performances from the rebuilding core pieces in these wins. But I mean, the Bulls aren't this good. They can't. They can't sustain this.
And I don't think so either. And it'll be, it'd be interesting if they did decide to start doing this. I will put something at ease too. And this is just, I'm just throwing this out here that if the Bulls in any way, shape or form end up out of the top five, I have been, if you've been paying any attention at all to college basketball, any attention at all, I've been impressed by some of the guys that I think are going to go between 6 and 10. Now, that's not me saying that I want the Bulls to all of a sudden, it's okay if the Bulls fall back to 6 through 10. I'm sticking with what I've said throughout this entire, before the season even started, that I think it's a failure of a season if you don't get between 1 and 3. Now, I'll give them a little leverage with 4 and 5, but you absolutely can't fall out of the top 5. But I have been impressed with the things that I've seen from Alabama point guard Colin Sexton. He's been like one of the biggest crazes around college basketball right now. And if you haven't caught an Alabama game, I suggest, highly suggest you go watch one, because Colin Sexton is doing crazy things right now. And his draft stock is rising a ton. Another guy, Trey Young out of Oklahoma, point guard, who people like over this weekend, I think people were getting kind of crazy with throwing out comparisons of him looking like a young Steph Curry in college and his ability to have no fear with shooting the ball. It's kind of crazy, the comparisons that are going on about Trae Young. So I would watch Oklahoma too, but this is what I'm saying. Like, you can find talent anywhere in the top, in the lottery, just about being able to evaluate that talent. But overall, I'm still saying like the Bulls need to be 1 through 5, but taking a look outside of it, there are some talent out there, but that's not what the Bulls want. The Bulls need a franchise changing player in this draft. And that I don't think is going to do it between 6 and 10.
No, I don't think so. And I'm equally intrigued with Colin Sexton. I've enjoyed watching some of his games thus far. But you know, you and I both agree, like he's not a top five guy. You know, in most NBA mock drafts right now, he's somewhere between 6 and 10, and God forbid that's where the Bulls end up picking. And something else to think about is, you know, we keep talking about like the Bulls need a modern NBA can score, can shoot, and can distribute starting point guard to kind of, you know, anchor this rebuild. And we haven't been impressed or, you know, convinced that anybody on the roster last year, anybody on the roster this year can really prove to be that guy. But you look at Chris Dunn in this winning streak, you look at Chris Dunn's numbers over his last 10 games, 16 points, 7 assists, 2 steals. I mean, we always knew he had the potential to be, you know, a premier level defender in the NBA. And that was one of the biggest things about him coming out of the drafts in 2016. But he's starting to show more potential and capability as a starting point guard in the NBA. Some of the moves he made, some of the you know, strong takes to the basket he had in that win against Milwaukee. Look, I'm saying, you know, it's still a small sample size of Chris Dunn in a Bulls jersey. You know, however many games we're into the season, you know, not quite 30 or something like that. So it's a small sample size, but the more I'm seeing from Chris Dunn, the more I'm wondering if maybe the Bulls did find a, you know, a starting caliber point guard. And they, you know, if that's the case, then who cares about Colin Sexton?
Right. I got a question for you. So what do you think in terms of, so at the end of the season, what do you need Chris Dunn to end up with in terms of numbers, in terms of skill, in terms of improvement in order to still be on the Chris Dunn train? Like, what do you need to see from him at the end of the season when everything's broken down? This is his first full year with the Bulls. This is an important year for him with the Bulls. What do you need to continue to ride that train, and what would kind of deter you from that?
Well, it's obviously the first thing that comes to mind is something that we've harped on a lot on this show, which is his abilities as a distributor to run that Fred Hoiberg offense. So a better assist to turnover ratio than what we've seen thus far. And he has improved on that in this recent stretch of games. And since taking over the starting point guard job, his assists are up and his turnovers are down. And you want to see that trend continue. And on top of that, is he actually making great strides as a shooter? And hey, if you want to talk about something that maybe we can actually give Fred Hoiberg credit for, I know you and I don't give him a whole lot of credit on this show, but you know, Dunn has talked about, and so has Hoiberg, the work that those two have put in together to kind of fix Chris Dunn's shot and hit in the mechanics of his shot. And if you go back and look at the tape of Chris Dunn shooting at Providence, go back and look at the tape of his shooting as a rookie with the Timberwolves last season, and look at his tape from, you know, Friday, it's noticeably different. His shot is better. It's looking better, and he's hitting more at a higher percentage. So I would like to see that percentage stay where it is or continue to climb. He's shooting 43.4% from the field right now and 36.4% from downtown. Nobody expected him to be that successful behind the three-point line this summer or this season. Can he keep those numbers where they are, or perhaps even ideally improve upon them while also continuing to improve on that assist to turnover ratio? And that's what I want to see, because we have, like, if you're talking about just raw athleticism, he's already shown it to us. Like, we are seeing it. Especially right in this recent stretch, like Chris Dunn has that, you know, that next level athletic ability that you want in your point guard. So we know that's there. It's just the mental aspect of the game and his shooting mechanics. Can those two things continue to improve?
I think what's kind of cool to look at over these last five games, in which the Bulls have won all five of them, Chris Dunn scored in double figures. He's shooting 42% from the field. He's playing an average of 31 minutes. He's dishing out over eight assists per game. He's scoring 16 points per game, averaging 16 points. I mean, this is what I want to see is from, if the Bulls are going to win games, and this is what we ultimately would see a couple of years down the road. Look, if Chris Dunn can be the guy that's anywhere between 16 and 18 points per game and a guy that's dishing out 8 to 10 assists a game, like, I'll take that. Like, that's a guy. And plus you add in his defensive factor too, is like, nobody ever thought that Chris Dunn was a bad defender. Like, him coming in, that was one of his strengths. Like, we knew he would play defense, and he's progressively gotten stronger at doing that. And so you add that, you couple that in with those types of stats too, I'll take that from the deal that the Bulls got. And I think that could be an integral part of a rebuilding team, a team that could ultimately be, you know, somewhere down the line, a championship contender. I'll take that from a guy that would be your starting point guard. Now you have to figure out who your superstar is going to be. And now that's easier said than done, but literally this Chris Dunn would be a guy, if he can continue this streak over this five game winning streak and just overall this season, I think he's shown promise and potential. What I also want to point out too, in this five game winning streak, Chris Dunn has only turned the ball over an average of 1.5 times. So that's huge for Chris Dunn. And his steals, he's gotten 12 steals over these five games, and he's only turned the ball over 7 times. So that's a huge improvement for Chris Dunn, especially during this winning streak. All right, let's turn around and let's get to some of a look around the NBA. And there was an interesting article published on the 14th of December. So this right around this weekend, we did not get to it, but on Friday, but I wanted to talk about it with you because I thought it was interesting and I thought it was a little far-fetched. It's specifically The Ringer. Kevin O'Connor, who's a really good basketball mind usually, had a take about the Bulls and the Timberwolves trading places. I don't know if you saw this article. We'll tweet this article for people who didn't see it over the weekend. But give me your first take on this, because I overall reading this, I felt it was really far-fetched in terms of a Bulls fan.
Well, look, I think the article itself, I mean, like the meat of it, O'Connor brings up some good points about some of the things the Wolves are struggling with right now, which, you know, defense, surprising for a Tibbs led team, and also the age old Thibodeau, you know, nightmare that the fans of his team worries about, which is using your starters and your star players for too many minutes in, you know, games in November and December. And you look at the, you know, league leaders in minutes played per game across the NBA, and the Wolves, maybe not so surprisingly, have four of them in Towns, Wiggins, Butler, and Taj. They're all in the top 20, which is, you know, crazy, but believable for Tom Thibodeau. So, I mean, the thing that to me seemed kind of far-fetched is that he kind of makes draws a parallel, or sort of, you know, a reverse polarity between what Tibbs and the Wolves are going through, despite being first place in their division right now, and Fred Hoiberg and these surging Bulls. And I mean, he makes some interesting points. And I think the string that he tries to connect between the two franchises and the two head coaches is a little weak. But I think the thing that got him in the most trouble is the fact that when that article came out and, you know, they posted a little blurb about what the article was about with the link to the article on Twitter, it was something along the lines of, and I might be paraphrasing here, but like, Fred Hoiberg is winning back fans in Chicago while people are calling for Tom Thibodeau's firing in Minnesota. And I quoted that link to the article with that phrase and was like, no, that's just a flat no. I think Bulls fans have enjoyed the respite from losing, but are Bulls fans, you know, starting to applaud Fred Hoiberg? Is he winning back fans, quote unquote, in Chicago? No. And as for Tibbs, yeah, you know what you're getting with him. He's going to play his starters a lot of minutes, but the Wolves are in first place in their division right now. And other than Kevin O'Connor and maybe a few other people who are really worried about those minutes, it's not like a big thing, from what I can tell on Wolves Twitter or the Minnesota Timberwolves fans that I interact with and talk to, that it's something as severe as calling for his firing. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he points out the fact that it's coming from extreme Timberwolves fans. So obviously, like, we've got Bulls fans like that too, who are like extreme to one side, extreme to the other. Like, there's fans like that in every fan base. I get that, but kind of use that as part of your argument for the article, I think, kind of bothered me. The other thing too is there was like some snippets of like one liner sentences that I didn't necessarily agree with, and that were like kind of, it was almost like it was tunnel vision in terms of what we've seen over these last five games. And it's kind of sparked this all of a sudden, this positive attitude around the National. And that's what I'm talking about, like with national takes on other teams. And I'm not saying like I know what's going on in the happenings every day, like for example in the New York Knicks team. Like, people obviously that cover there locally know more about the teams than people nationally that would talk about them. So I think one of them kind of irritated me was the Bulls' success in the 6 months since they swapped Butler and the number 16 pick for some Timber pups doesn't make the deal any worse for Minnesota. Like that one. All right. I mean, like, the Bulls' success, like, come on, like, we're talking about a 5-game winning streak is success, and Chris Dunn turning into a capable, confident point guard, and Lauri Markkanen looking good in the first part of the season. Like, that's like Bulls' success. Come on.
Let's be real. Like, the Bulls still have more than twice as many losses as they do wins.
So that one kind of, I was like, all right, whatever. But then the very last sentence of the article says, patience, as we've seen in Chicago, can be a beautiful thing. I think we're like that. That to me tells me like, all right, come on. Like, I get it. If like 5-game winning streak, let's put that into perspective. 5-game winning streak for as bad as the Bulls played before that. Like, come on, like let's pump the brakes here a little bit.
And I mean, like, what patience are you talking about, man? We are a quarter of the way through season one of a rebuild. Like, we haven't had to be all that patient quite yet. And true, there are some Bulls fans on Twitter who are already remarkably impatient with the path that the front office has chosen. And those people, you know, I don't know who can help you. I can't help you. If you don't understand how rebuilds work, good luck to you. But patience? Come on.
I will say this too.
We have barely started our rebuild. What patience?
It also doesn't take into account the pain that the Bulls fans have gone through the past handful of seasons and when they were trying to compete. And then even talking about the last two seasons since Fred Hoiberg has been here, trying to figure out what the Bulls are, hanging out in mediocrity like we talked about all last season. Like, I don't think that's really taken into account into this article. And like, I don't blame him because he doesn't cover the Bulls every single day. So I get it. But I think that perspective too from it just kind of threw me off. And I don't know, I wasn't a big fan of the whole comparison article, but I get it. Like, from a national perspective, you gotta get something that'll get the clicks too. And you talked about the headline too on Twitter. So I thought that was a little ridiculous, but that just goes to further my argument about national coverage over local coverage. And that's why you got to stick here at Locked On Bulls for all your Bulls coverage. And everywhere else on Locked On Podcast Network too. So if you're a Bucks fan and you go like Locked On Bucks, which I talked to a lot of people while I was up in Milwaukee this weekend, just conversating about the Bulls win on Friday night with people at the bar, and people brought up Locked On because I was asking them, you know, you listen to podcasts, are you out there? Is that like your thing? Do you listen to radio? How do you get your information? A lot of people especially younger have been telling me that they listen to podcasts. A lot of people brought up Locked On Bucks, said that they were a great podcast. So shout out to those guys who run Locked On Bucks up there. But it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to get a perspective of what other fans think about the Bulls and where they are at in terms of kind of hanging out in mediocrity like the Bucks had for so many years. And now they've got their star. So it was pretty cool. It was an interesting conversations with some people up there. The top of the show, I want to talk about real quick with you, because we didn't bring this up on Friday, but are you concerned at all about these back spasms and this kind of lingering back injury that Lauri Markkanen's got?
I mean, I would say I have a non-zero amount of worry. I wouldn't say that it's remarkably high or peaked even at the moment. I think the Bulls are being very cautious. I think between the back spasms and maybe a little bit of a worry that he kind of hit an early rookie wall with that shooting slump he was in and maybe not feeling entirely like himself. He was also fighting illness for a while during that shooting slump. So maybe, a number of factors, and then he was kind of starting to feel these spasms again, was a reason for Fred Hoiberg to say, you know what, let's just play it safe. Let's shut him down for a stretch of games, because it seemed like every game he was out at morning shoot around for the Bulls' next game, it would the talk would be, yeah, he'll probably be back. And then it was a late scratch. And then it was a late scratch again. So to me, that is a sign of just taking the uber cautious route, which I'm totally fine with. And, you know, as we are recording a few hours away from tip between the Bulls and the Sixers, it sounds like Markkanen will be back in that starting lineup. So it'll be curious to see how many minutes he gets tonight, if he gets the usual dose he was getting as a starter before this most recent stretch of back spasm related injury. But I mean, I'm not super concerned right now, but if I let myself be a worrying about things way down the road kind of person, which I'm not, yeah, maybe I would let myself have those very negative thoughts creep in about larger NBA players, particularly, you know, centers and power forwards who have a history of back injuries and back injuries derailing their careers. I mean, even, you know, not necessarily known as a dominant big, but I mean, Larry Bird, career cut short by back injury. And other, you've heard, you know, other prominent star level players in the NBA have dealt with it, have had seasons or even careers halted because of it. So sure, that lingering doubt and or worry can be somewhere deep in the deep crevices of your mind. But as of right now, and you know, this is assuming he comes back and plays against the Sixers and then is back in the lineup and puts a string of decent games together, then no, for now, I won't be worried.
Yeah, that's how I am too. It's just something to maybe keep paying attention to if it does continue to linger this season. I was just curious. I don't think most Bulls fans are really that worried. It is kind of a concern, and I'm sure the team is looking at that. And exactly what you had said is, if he doesn't feel 100%, there's no need to rush him out there, make him go out there and play through it. Because what are the Bulls playing for this season? Really, nothing, other than the draft pick. So it makes sense. And I was curious, just with him being so big, so lanky, I don't know if there's a history with guys that are, it seems like, not, I wouldn't say underweight, but just taller guys with back problems that might be a concern maybe later down the road if it continues to linger, but just something to monitor. One other quick note too is I gotta give whoever thought of this a round of applause, that the Bulls sent down Chris Felicio down to the G League this weekend and let him get some reps down there, which I think he desperately needed. And it just makes me further applaud the NBA for creating this system where they can get players to play in the G League. Because I'm finding out pretty quickly with this rebuilding team that it's benefiting the Bulls a ton. Like, look at Antonio Blakeney, by the way. He had 44 points in the Windy City Bulls last game, which they lost. So he is still stacking numbers in the G League. But I got to applaud it. It's giving Felicio at least an opportunity to go down there and play, maybe pick up his confidence a little bit. I think he had 20 points and 12 rebounds in that game. I also like it too for the factor that now with Markkanen coming back off an injury, I don't know where he fits in terms of getting playing time, Cristiano Felicio, because I feel like Fred Hoiberg is probably going to run that Nico Bobby system out there and then have Robin and Lauri Markkanen play together. And that kind of bumps Cristiano Felicio out. But I had to at least bring it up because Kay Felder, Antonio Blakeney, and Cristiano Felicio were down there playing with the Windy City Bulls. I hope he can get his confidence back and they can figure out what's going on with him, because he's still going to be here for 3 more years, and they signed him to all that money and now it just looks like he's a ghost.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he can't outshine Antonio Blakeney in the G League because right.
I don't think anybody
is
can.
A G League monster. It's been fun to watch him play at that level recently, but I mean, you're not wrong, Jordan. It's good that the Bulls have this option to get Felicio some minutes down there, and he did have a strong game just the other day. As far as, you know, trying to figure out what's wrong with Felicio when he's gotten minutes with the Bulls this season and fixing problem, whatever the problem might be, and he just hasn't been in a groove. Apparently came into training camp not in very good shape, which, you know, you wonder, like, come on, man. Like, you just signed a 4-year extension this offseason and you're going to come into training camp out of shape? Like, what the hell is that about? So, I mean, to me, this becomes a more important factor, Felicio, if and when the Bulls actually do trade Robin Lopez. And yeah, I know that the Bulls front office would love to trade Rolo, like, if they could get a first round pick for him. I mean, I think, you know, why wouldn't you? Because he is a productive player on the court for the Bulls in that starting lineup. And I think if they traded Lopez, they would definitely lose some more games than if they had him on board still. I do have a little bit of a concern with the front office and Coach Hoiberg and their staff loving Rolo so much and knowing how important he is as a veteran leader in this locker room, that they might be afraid to trade him. Even if they get a middling, decent, even semi-great offer for Robin Lopez to say, you know what, his minutes on the court and more importantly, his leadership in the locker room are too vital to what we're doing. Even if it means, you know, another win or two and a fewer fewer ping pong balls, Lopez means too much to what we're doing this season to trade him. And that to me is the only factor in which Cristiano Felicio's relevance, play, ups and downs, G League or NBA becomes significant at all. Because if they do trade Lopez, then you're thinking, okay, well, then Felicio's definitely going to get some more run in the back half of the season. And you hope to see him show some growth there after such an ugly start. But until that Lopez trade happens, go get some work in the G League if you want Felicio, but I don't see him getting anywhere near this Bulls rotation right now.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what the Bulls are offered for Robin Lopez if teams are legitimately interested. And that'll be the thing that'll interest me the most is what do the Bulls value in terms of what he can do for the Bulls rather than maybe what they can get and what outweighs which one. Like if you're not going to get a first round pick maybe in the future for him, and that's maybe what the Bulls are looking to get is acquire a pick rather than a player, you know, maybe they do keep him on. And I don't know, like if you don't get exactly what you want for him, I mean, I could see why the Bulls wouldn't just like give him away. And maybe that's what teams are thinking, is that the Bulls just want to unload him. And maybe this is kind of a play on that, is like trying to tell teams, you know, we value him more than just, oh yeah, here's a decent center. Just give us whatever you want for him. So it'll definitely be interesting to see what the offers are out there, what kind of people are talking about. And in terms of value, what they could get. My most intriguing one for value, though, is Nico, if he gets just to play like this, because I have no idea what the market would be for him and whether or not people would give up legit, you know, a legit piece of their roster, like a pick or a young player to acquire a Nico that may be a team that's contending. One last note, though, on Antonio Blakeney, just in case you were wondering. So he's played 7 games in the G League. He's averaging 40 minutes a night. He's averaging 38 points. He's 49% from 3-point. He's shooting over 50%. He's scoring. His scoring is ridiculous. He hasn't had a game where he shot under 35 points since he's been down there in his first 2 games, which is insane. It's absolutely insane. He's number one in points. He's number one in field goals made. He's number one in field goals attempted. He's number one in three-pointers made, three-pointers attempted, free throws made. And he's number one in 3-point percentage in the G League. So that my final question to you, Matt, as we wrap up the show, is there a reason why he's still down in the G League, or am I crazy that this is just some kind of G League phenomenon?
I mean, I think we can't expect him to be even half as productive if the Bulls bring him up. I mean, the G League is the G League and the NBA is the NBA. There's no two ways around that. And so whether it's Blakeney or whether it's Felicio, when you see guys on the Bulls G League roster having a good game, or in Blakeney's case, a good stretch of games, yeah, sure, it's encouraging and it's fun to see. But I mean, do I think Blakeney would have even
averaging 38 points though? 38 yeah, points.
No, and that's not insignificant,
right?
But I mean, is it? Look, there's a reason that he's down in the G League. And, you know, maybe it's Fred and that staff saying we want him to get a lot of run, because if, God forbid, something happens to one of our key guys in the backcourt and we need to bring Blakeney up, we want him to be fresh. We want him to be in shape so that he can get out and run with us. You hear that? Yeah, I just dropped a run with us in there. I mean, it makes sense. But to bring him up to take minutes away from whom?
I mean, I'm not even saying he has to get in the rotation, but I think he doesn't have anything left to prove. I get he's on the two-way deal, so he can go down there and play just to keep his confidence.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he's not getting in the rotation, then what, you want him sitting on the Bulls bench as a DNP, or do you want him playing in the G League? If those are my options, I want him playing in the G League, absolutely.
Right. Now, I just think at 38 points a game and you started in seven of those games, you probably don't have much left to prove in the G League. And I don't care wherever you're playing, college, or you professionals overseas, in the G League, you're playing a professional league against professional players. I'm not comparing it to the NBA because that's just ridiculous. But 38 points in seven starts, like averaging 38 points, that's pretty ridiculous. And like you said, I don't know where he would fit into a rotation spot right now with the Bulls or anything, but at least, you know, the Bulls got to be excited about it.
Valentine, is he going to take minutes from Holiday, your starting shooting guard? And then what happens when LaVine gets back? Then you have another person in that backcourt that needs minutes, and then everybody else gets knocked down a peg, and then, you know,
don't forget about your boy campaign.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because, you know, he's going to be out there, too. You got to figure out what you're going to do with him, too.
No way. There is the only way the campaign sees a floor, an NBA floor, if he comes back this season and is actually healthy enough to play, is if the front office just makes Fred, just makes him throw campaign out there for a few stints to try to save a little bit of face for that awful, awful trade. And the funny thing is, if that happens, if the front office says, hey, Fred, give campaign some minutes for, you know, a few stretch of games, well, good news, the Bulls will lose all of those games if campaign sees the court for more than 60 seconds. And B, the Bulls fan base that just absolutely hates the front office right now and is, you know, fire guard packs this, fire guard packs that, will get what they want because the front office will remind everyone just how god awful that trade was. Because no, campaign can't play in the NBA. His own teammates said as much off the record, not identifying themselves, but Bulls teammates said, yeah, it took us two practices to figure out the campaign can't play in the NBA.
Yeah, and that first practice was because they thought he was nervous, he was just jitters, but then they said, nope. He really can't play in the NBA, but he's still making NBA money. So the Bulls decided to pay him for that and up until next season. So that's that's like the other weird thing. And we can talk about this later in the week too, but like the fact that he's going to be on the Bulls books to next year too, through next year.
Well, you know, I mean, if Benny the Bull ever gets tired, they could just, you know, throw him in the Benny costume and just, you know, get something out of him. If you're going to pay the guy, get something.
Yeah, he's got the dance moves to kill it as Benny the Bull, so we don't want to get Benny the Bull out of a job, though, or anything.
It reminds me of that where they hire the stripper for, like, Phyllis's fiance's bachelor party, Bob Van's bachelor party, and then he doesn't want the lap dance, so then Michael gets the lap dance, but then Michael freaks out because he's dating Jan, and he's, like, worried that he's cheating on her. So the bachelor party ends early, and then Dwight like brings the stripper up to their office and is like, all right, you're going to sit here and answer phones for the neck. And she's like, wait, so you want me to sit here with my clothes on and answer phones? And Dwight was like, yeah, we paid you for work and we're going to get it. So with campaign, it might not be playing basketball, but, you know, throw on the Benny the costume and, you know, trip over yourself and spill popcorn on some Bulls fans. Make yourself useful.
We've lost all direction on this show. That's probably going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android. Anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Give them a like on Facebook, Locked On Podcast Network. Find all of our content there. The Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter. Remember, we're on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. It's 100% free. If you didn't get to catch anything we said on Friday's episode, including a couple segments there, we're going to have that on Dash Radio tomorrow as well as this episode. So if you missed anything, you're not downloading it, give us a listen on Dash Radio. We'll be there tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Jordan and Matt, enjoy the 76ers game tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode breaking everything down that happened tonight and a look around the league. So have a great night. Enjoy the Bulls game. We'll see you tomorrow.